Hello, welcome back to episode number 6 of Access Point, a podcast dedicated to video game discovery and telling the stories of the people who make them. My name's Richard, and with me as always, my co-host Stuart. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? I love saying that little bit of a phrase before we start our main podcast here. How are you indeed?
It's funny, isn't it? It's not until you edit these you realise the phrases and little things you say regularly that just come out.
The little ticks that come out. And but that's no bad thing. It's all fine here. It's pouring with rain. And as I've mentioned once or twice on my main channel, when it rains, my internet really does not like it because my internet comes into this house via a copper cable down a pole and rain just doesn't. It's bubbling away. I think we're good enough to record, but that's about it.
Well, that's why we record locally and not just record the screen. So that works out well.
Definitely. Let's get some digital artifact in there as well. But yes, how about them video games?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a strange week for me this week. I've had a bit of a shotgun approach to video game playing. I seem to have played lots of little things in short periods of time.
I've had the opposite. I've been playing big games for a lot of time. I've gone back and played a few classics here and there, but as listeners probably don't know, I'm actually only working part-time at the moment, 4 or 5 hours a day, and it's a shift pattern, so it gives me the ability to really concentrate as to when I'm going to be playing video games or, heaven forbid, going out into the outside world for a bit of real exercise.
Whoa.
But it's been a stop-start sort of a week. A week where the new Metroid Dread amiibo turned up on my doorstep, which I apparently ordered 4 or so months ago, I guess in the middle of the night, and had no idea it was coming. But hey, it's rocked up. It's sitting next to me. Again, great visuals here for a podcast. But I'm not sure what I'll do with that. I might put it up somewhere or put it aside as a collector's item, because I'm sure it'll be worth thousands in a year or so. Obviously it won't, but
I do love those. I get random boxes that I don't realize I ordered, and they tend to be Kickstarter rewards. I back like a year beforehand, and then something just turns up at my door. I'm like, what the hell is this?
When I backed In Other Waters a long time ago, I mean, it's years and years ago, one of the deliverables only recently arrived, and because it got lost within the postal system. But it went to my old address, and it's been 3 years since I lived there. However, it ended up coming back to my right address, which is freaky in itself. But hey, they got it to me, and I'm listening to the soundtrack every now and again for that absolutely wonderful game. Plus also, by the looks of it, Devolver Digital or their partners ended up sending me the collector's edition of Gris, or Greece. Greece, I think it is the correct pronouncement, which is Spanish for grey. I need to unbox that at some point, but again, hardly podcast material.
And unboxing. Listen, everybody, a live unboxing here for you.
That would be an interesting in itself, of being able to describe what's in it. I mean, the artwork on the front, I haven't opened it yet. It's the lady with the splurge of the eyeshadow and the tear down the cheek. But it's a fabulous looking package. But maybe something for a live stream in the next week or so.
They've done really well with the marketing on that. With that lady's face, the image, so recognisable. Which again is really important for all indie devs to have something to hang your hat on with artwork.
But it's been consistent, as like you say. I mean, it's been a couple of years since that game came out, and the graphics and everything does make it stand out. And it's a striking image, particularly when you go into what the game is all about. It perfectly sums up the start and the journey of that character as they take throughout the game. So, but no spoilers on that one. If you haven't played Gris or Greece, definitely suggest going to pick it up. Yeah. I recently played it on the Switch, which I think it kind of works well, both in docked mode and handheld.
Yeah, I've still never played it. It's a game that's always been on my list, and I just keep forgetting about it. That's the problem. The industry moves so quickly now. There's so many games coming out all the time, and just when you start thinking about playing a game, someone mentions to you another game that looks cool, and you're like, and then you sort of kind of get swept along with the hype of new games, and then you just miss games, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of hype, I mean, I played... It's hardly indie. it's very much the not indie, but I played an awful lot of the new Call of Duty Vanguard this past couple of weeks. I haven't played a COD game in years and years.
Yeah.
So I've avoided everything to do with COD, but decided to jump in as somebody recommended that it might be worth having a look just to see where COD is going and what it's up to. And so, yeah, I've played the main. I take it you haven't played before I ask your opinion.
I think Black Ops 2 was the last COD I played.
I can see in your eyes a slight little bit of disdain there as I talk about COD.
No. No. Again, for what it is, I used to love COD. Absolutely loved it. It just got very tired for me.
Ah. You see, the campaign, it's nothing to write home about. It tells the story of a band of people. I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil this. It's very COD. It does what you'd expect. Although in certain places, again, it's hard to describe without the visuals, but it feels really on rails. Obviously, they are. Mm. But in terms of the overall story, it's fine. It does what you'd expect. It's relatively well written. There's a fabulous character, a Russian sniper. She, by far and away, is the best thing about that entire campaign. I think the missions are nothing to write home about. Again, just to reuse that phrase. Although it's perfectly good to sit down and tick away a couple of hours, well, more than a couple of hours of your time. However, I really enjoyed the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And it's not something I thought I'd ever really enjoy. One caveat, though, everybody is muted. When I go into this game, I saw the option that I could, for the first time ever, automatically mute everybody with a single click. Beautiful. Rather than having to go through every single person, mute, which elevates, for me, the experience totally. And you've got your standard death matches and you've got your capture the flags and stuff. But what I've really enjoyed playing is the domination game, where you effectively have three separate points within the map and you need to hold them, take them, and generally scrap away to keep those points ticking over. And I don't care about kill-death ratios. I just want to have a little bit of fun. And it's the superb mode for getting in, scouting about the place, and really just getting involved. And again, I don't have the mic on, so I can't or don't want to chat with other players as to who should be going where or who's going down the center, who's flanking who, and all that sort of stuff. I don't know how often I'll keep playing it. It's not the sort of game I'm going to come back to and try and prestige, which, goodness me, when Modern Warfare came out all those years ago, I played an awful lot of that and did prestige it a few times. But now, it's COD, and I'm going to say it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. Really did have fun with it. And yeah, I'll probably play it again once we finish this podcast, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the multiplayer, I think they realised, it was probably around Black Ops 2, where they started realising, why are we bothering putting a single-player campaign in this? Because most people are just buying this for the multiplayer now. And now it really does sort of seem that they're just sort of shoehorning some sort of storyline because they have to release it with a single-player somewhere.
£60 or £70, yeah, whatever it is, maybe $100 without a single player.
Yeah.
So that's
what I mean. They can't justify it, so they have to just put something in there. But the multiplayer is where it's at. I mean, that's what they're all about.
The multiplayer is indeed where it's at. Yeah. It's funny as well. Even I played it on launch day or the day after, and there were people already multiple prestiges. So they've been playing this game for hours and hours. I mean, some people naturally are just incredibly good at this game. Watching streams of people, you know, doing headshots from the, not even looking down the sight, the skills people have and the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Plus also I have a left thumb, as I've spoken before, that really doesn't work. So controlling a controller with that makes it a little bit cumbersome. But no, honestly, pleasantly surprised even with my time with the new Call of Duty Vanguard.
Okay. All right.
And that's not something I ever thought I'd discuss on Access Point. And
but this is the point, isn't it?
I mean, it is. It gives us a little bit of a different vehicle to talk about things that aren't just indie.
Yeah.
My case, anyway.
And that's what we were both sort of missing, the chance to talk about stuff. Because I've wanted to do some live streams of some sort of AAA games. I'm like, oh, I can't really. My channel's completely off. The channel is Indie Gamiacs. I can't really play.
No, the clue is the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Sports. I've said to you in the past, I've had conversations with people, even at YouTube on some level, about renaming or looking to rebrand the channel at some point so I can grow.
Yeah.
Because indie in itself is niche and is keeping me a certain small size. However, that is the niche of the channel. It's why people come. I could evolve it and move into something different, although the trade-off would be a loss of the base. And I think also the credibility over the X number of years, coming up to six years.
Wow.
Since I started the channel, which was in the departure lounge of Gatwick Airport in December 2017.
How glamorous.
So there we are, a little bit of trivia there. Well, I was in the lounge. So yes, a little bit of traveling
carpet.
For business. Back then when lounge travel when you could travel everywhere. And it dawned on me, the name popped into my head. I registered the channel, registered the domain name, all of the socials before I jetted off on a not so romantic trip to go and see some chap in a business park somewhere in Germany.
No. Oh, wow.
Happy days.
Yeah, well, that's where Access Point can come in. You know,
yeah.
If we're talking about future plans for some live streams or some videos for Access Point, mm-hmm. They are sort of, the rumblings are there for sort of extra content for
yeah,
video.
I'm super excited for we've been chatting about doing the live stream and potential video from EGX Birmingham in March next year.
Yeah.
I think there's a few things poking away in the fire, so to speak. So hopefully we can give you more news on that in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, very exciting.
But yes, we're both super excited about that.
Okay, if we're going to talk about big AAA games, then the one I played, and so I played Riders Republic. I picked this up because it came out last week.
I've seen this.
And first of all, the hit on my wallet was the biggest shock to start with. Oh my, I think to buy the game and then to get the sort of 1 year game access pass, whatever they're calling it now, 1 year license to play the game online, plus the game, it was like £85. And I was like, ooh. This hurts. I'm not keen on this.
The price of AAA games.
Yeah, but I was thinking, well, okay, but I'll give it a go. So I downloaded it, installed it, started playing it. And it's cool. I mean, like the idea, so it's basically like a online multiplayer mass racing sort of game. So you're playing like a downhill mountain biking. You've got skiing, snowboarding, wingsuiting.
I've seen streamers playing this. Yeah, wingboarding. It can't be wingboarding. That sounds like something.
Wing gliding. I don't know what.
That'll do. Let's call it
the
wing
verb
gliding.
That one.
To wing glide.
Winglided. I winglided.
Yes.
But like, it's really frustrating. Like they force you to watch these little clips of the characters, and your character doesn't speak. So it's got that weird disconnection of like the NPCs talking to you and your character standing there going nothing to say.
So what's the point of those sessions? Is it to build the narrative? I mean, I can't see how that would work for me. If I can't skip those scenes, then
you're like the new kid on the block, as they say. And then you've got some guy going, hey there, oh great, oh yeah, well, you make sure you finish these challenges then, and then I'll take a look at you for the next heat. But it's weird because your character doesn't speak, so you don't get any sort of connection with it at all. And it's really, like, there's loads of like little sound issues. So when it loads up, there's just no sound for a second, just a bit glitchy. I was thinking, I've played indies that are more polished than this. But for the gameplay,
there's been a few of those.
Yeah. It's good fun. I mean, like, you're right. It looks gorgeous, of course. It kind of feels like GTA.
Right.
Like, it feels like the sort of made up online multiplayer of GTA. So, like, crazy stunts, people riding all over the place. You know, there's people everywhere.
But I imagine less criminality involved.
Yeah, there is. But there's just some weird decisions, like with the mountain biking. When you change onto snow and onto gravel, you can feel the sort of the difference in the textures of the floor. So you think, oh, wow, this is done really nicely.
Yes.
But you can't lean forward or back. It's like you can lean left and right and you can bunny hop and spin, but I can't put the weight to the back of my bike or the front of my bike. There's no forward and back lean. I'm like, really weird mechanic decision. I don't know why you'd, because surely you'd want to, if you're going downhill, you lean back a little bit. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, you'd want to get your center of gravity up over the rear wheel.
Yeah. So,
well, I suppose physics there and the design points, but I've got to be honest, it's a game I've seen. I've seen streamers play it. It's not something that really appeals to me. Actually, the idea of doing any sort of daredevil type sport is just, I don't see the point, but that's me. I'd rather sit in the airplane than jump out of the window.
Yeah. I do. I mean, I like the concept because I like the sort of multiplayer action. You can sort of pick up and play. You can pick it up when it loads, pick it up,
yeah,
go to a section, do a really quick downhill. You get your stars and your reward unlocks new areas. Mm. And that's great. And when you zoom out onto the map, what is really cool is that you can see everybody on the map with a little marker.
That's good.
So you can see where people are gathering and where people are heading to, and so many people playing it. So it's just difficult with £85. I'm like, oh, it hurts. And now I feel like I have to play it because I spent that much on it.
Ah, there you go. Well, wasn't it Far Cry 6 last week? They were emailing people. Ubisoft were emailing saying, you're not playing enough of this game.
No.
You can try better. You can do harder. Yeah, real kind of back of the hand.
Wow.
You must keep playing. In some ways, clever. In other ways, absolutely awful. I remember the Scrabble app I had on my iPhone at one point. It sent me a notification to say it noticed I wasn't playing anymore. Delete. No, thank you. You're gone. How dare you come back and give me that sort of feedback. Yeah. But no, I'm not going to put up with that sort of rubbish from a video game. But no. if it makes you feel like you have to play rather than you want to play.
Yeah. And it's only been out a week and I'm already like, oh, I should probably play that. Because I don't know. It's kind of cool. It just felt too expensive to me. I mean, made up.
Did you get the physical edition or was it a digital download?
Digital. I didn't even get anything. Just a digital version.
You don't get anything. So you can't actually sell it on eBay or get rid of it again.
No.
There you go.
Hello.
The future of games. Yeah. And again, I love physical for that reason, if I can. And I know you do too.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah. That's it.
But I know you watched the Elden Ring gameplay footage as well.
Now, funny enough, I tend to always avoid. I really, really dislike watching trailers for games or films. Mm-hmm. I'd really try and avoid it. Yeah. So, but it came out, and you mentioned it to me if I'd seen it. I was like,
everybody was mentioning.
Yeah.
Even people saying, "Have you seen this? It's clearly not indie, but what do you think?"
Yeah.
So well, I know what I think, but I'd like to hear what you think.
Well, first of all, it's not really a trailer. It was a hefty, like, was it half an hour gameplay?
It was a full-on gameplay.
Yeah.
Just an exposition, a showcase, and goodness me.
Yeah.
It looked like it did.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. The first thoughts are you can't get away from the visuals, which are just, it really felt like a next-gen title.
And you can see why it's taking an age to drop.
Yeah. I mean,
just look at it.
I mean, it kind of looks between a cross between like Witcher 3. I know this is very rough terms here, but Witcher 3, Dark Souls, and something else, but in an open world, universe.
Yes, it's the open world nature of it that. I mean, I saw the trailer and thought, well, goodness, look at this. It's not a game I imagine I'll pick it up, I'll play. Well, I'll have to at some point. I doubt it's a game I'll play for more than a couple of hours. I just don't gel with these games in the franchise. I've never completed Dark Souls. I've played it. I've never completed Bloodborne. I think I actually lasted about 5 minutes in Bloodborne, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
And just thought, nope, this isn't for me. But it just, the graphics and everything, the gameplay, everything, you can see people are going to drop their lives for this game.
I mean, as soon as that dragon arrives, that's the moment trailer. As soon as the dragon arrives in the trailer and he's battling with the dragon, it just looks just unbelievable. But the only issue I have with these types of games, and the reason why I don't like Skyrim, similar. The world is beautiful.
That's going back some.
Yeah. I still think that's like 2-3 years ago. That's how old I'm getting.
Yes.
They're actually re-releasing that, aren't they? Remastering.
Probably. Yeah. I imagine it'll come onto Playdate.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, does Doom work on, does Skyrim work on Playdate? But everything else.
The problem I have with those games is they, for me, because I sort of grew up, because I spent a large part of my sort of game playing career playing MMOs, those open world games feel very lonely to me.
That's interesting.
So I end up just running around going, oh, it's just like a few NPCs in some villages, and it's like, oh, I really just, it just feels weird, and I've always struggled, and MMOs have kind of killed that open world game sort of play for me because it just feels so lonely and massive.
Yeah, I can see that. I really enjoyed the games like Skyrim, and particularly just for that interaction with the NPCs. And okay, normally you'd end up with some fetch quest where you need to go and visit somebody halfway up a mountainside to pick up some feathers for their quill or stuff like this. Yeah. And yet there was there's something of joy, and I hardly ever used fast travel as well. Mm-hmm. I just loved the journey and going about the place. Because like you, growing up with the video games of the Commodore, then the Amigas, and then the first consoles, the next generation, it is like you're playing a film in these certain things. And that's the way I used to approach these games. And I became really invested in these type of experiences. So do I want the experience that Elden Ring is going to deliver or potentially deliver? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think it's probably going to be too get good for me. And we know what the accessibility options are going to be like from FromSoft.
Well,
we don't, but no. I'm assuming they'll be next to nothing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I thought I'd check out the pre-orders for it. I mean, we're only a couple of days after the sort of pre-order was announced. And I thought, I'm just going to have a look. Because, again, you know that the pre-orders are going to come with some amazing, like, little items. Because, I do like some stuff. And I went on. They had some super-duper collector's edition. It was £229. I was thinking, wow, blimey. What do you get with that? And you get, like, a little mask and all sorts of fancy stuff. I clicked it, sold out. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's good then, because that means I won't be buying it. That sort of stopped me. And then I just thought I'd have a quick search on eBay just to see what's going on. And they are already on there for £700. So people are selling. The scalpers have already got in there. And the £229 pre-order is now, you can all you're doing is buying the reservation for it. You know, you're not getting anything. True. You're just getting the email to say it's coming to you. So then there's £700 already. It's like,
goodness me.
Jeez, it's about ruining it for all the collectors and stuff. It's like, bloody hell. But and it's always going to happen. And now games are so lucrative that it's just going to get worse and worse like this now.
That's true.
So that's a shame.
Unless anti-scalping stuff gets put in, which I don't see anybody having done that for a while. I know Game in the UK are doing something with their PlayStation 5 allocations, but that's about it. So maybe this Metroid Dread amiibo that I've got could be worth...
Get on eBay.
No, I'm not going to scalp it. I'm going to keep it and stick it in a box alongside some of my Hot Wheels Mario cars that I bought 5 years ago, because apparently they might be worth something.
Yeah, that's it.
Actually, that's not a lie. I bought two sets of those. One, a set for one child, the other one for the other. And my daughter got hold of the box that was hers and ripped a couple of the packages. So hers, she's ruined. But my boy, he is completely... completely untorn and sealed away. So I'm sure they'll be worth absolutely nothing. Because when they say limited edition, they mean limited to only 100,000 instead of 100 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, that's the Elden Ring. Yeah, of course I'm going to pick it up. And
Well, I don't know what the specs are, actually. I don't know what I'm going to need. Because my PC is nothing super duper special. You know, I'm still running a 1080 NVIDIA.
Okay.
I think it's going to get hammered a bit by that, I think.
It might get a bit stretched. The fans may be having a bit of a moan and a whinge.
So we'll see. But yeah, I'll pick it up as well. So.
Definitely. I mean, I was lucky to be able to pick up from retail one of last year's 3080s.
Oh, yeah.
So I just so happened to be sitting on the computer at 10 o'clock when they were for sale, and I got one from a Dutch site. And I mean, yeah, it's fine. 4K is great. Not many indie games which I really need to use it, shall we say, but...
I know, it does feel a bit like when you're playing some indies, you're thinking, wow, I could probably play this on the onboard graphics, but...
Definitely. I mean, I was playing a couple of it. There's... I'm not going to mention it because it feels like kicking a puppy. There was a game that released last couple of weeks that was really... And I don't like the phrase, but people would call it wholesome for whatever you want to use that phrase for. But it had so much screen tearing. Oh. And I did all of the stuff that you're supposed to do when you see screen tearing because you think this can't be the game. But it was. It had just launched in this state where it was off-putting. Wow. So I ended up stopping playing it on the PC and jumping on the Xbox where it was there and on Game Pass. So, was a shame.
But, speaking of Game Pass, this got flagged up this morning, in fact. So you mentioned to me about Forza Horizon 5.
Yes.
And like I said, I thought it was on Game Pass, you know, because I thought, oh, I might check that out. And I was like, oh, shame it isn't. Oh, well, I checked it. I was like, oh, well, I was going to give it a quick blast.
I thought, like you, Game Pass from day one, which was last week, last Thursday, I believe. So I did something similar to you, fired it up. It's there. It's downloaded. And then you're here a little bit too early, says the screen prompt. Come back later or go and see the store. And today, we're recording this on Tuesday the 9th. It's finally available, but not on day one, which I got a little bit grumpy about. So did my son, bless him, because he was really looking forward to it. His favorite games are driving games. He can play the Formula One games with all of the stuff taken off, all of the driver aids, and it's like him naturally just driving, and he wins everything. But he was looking forward to this, and he couldn't. So he's going to come home today and finally be able to play it. But it's not on day one. And I don't want to be grumpy, but it did make me grumpy. So I'm having a grump.
But I mean, like, is that... Because that's not a regular thing. Normally things come out on as they're launched, aren't they, on Game Pass? So I don't know whether that was a on purpose delay for the people who buy it separately, or...
I think you could have it on Game Pass, but pay a little bit more to get access early.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't want to... Don't start doing that. I mean, if you're going to be... Because don't forget, we are paying for Game Pass. It isn't a free service. Okay, it's incredible value.
Oh, yes.
But we are still customers that are paying for a service. And if you're going to start saying we're your second-rate customers, so you can have them later...
Yeah, the pyramid of customers. Yeah. You've got the hierarchy. Those that have paid a wee bit more can get access day one minus five. But, okay, I've spent half an hour with it this morning, and it is gorgeous. It's 4K... solid 60 frames per second, and it's the best looking open world driving game I've ever seen, and it should be. Yeah. But hey, 5 days late, whinge.
So yeah, that just flagged up this morning, and I see Football Manager 2022 is also coming as well, so I'm gonna have to try and avoid downloading that, otherwise my life is over.
I have stopped playing those games. I played them through the late 90s going through college. And days would disappear when I'm investing my life trying to get Shrewsbury Town up from the fourth division into the Premiership.
Yeah.
And getting really upset when some random person wouldn't agree personal terms. Now, for you, listeners, if you've never played this game, this is obviously going straight over your head, but this is a cultural icon for many people of a certain age within the UK. We all grew up playing Player Manager. Yeah. And I'm trying to think what's the equivalent? Is it FIFA?
But
no, not really.
No, I mean equivalent in what, in American sports?
Well, or... I don't know kids anymore. Are they all sitting around their PCs, all trying to take Yeovil Town from the conference?
I don't know. I don't know if new players do that anymore. It was, like I said, it was the challenge of doing that you could just sit on your own and you didn't want to play with anyone else. It was, leave me alone. I'm trying to get this small club up to the Premier League. I'll be gone for several weeks. And that was it.
Yes. And but always did, though. And it was completely unlikely ever to happen in real life. But lo and behold, year after year, you'd take this obscure club. And I'm going to be careful. I don't know, Accrington Stanley or some other club you've never heard of. And lo and behold, you'd get them into the Division One, because it wasn't the Premiership then.
No, it wasn't. There was a funny story a few years ago where I actually can't remember the club now, but they needed a new manager, low league club, and they had an application from a guy, and he listed as his experience Football Manager, and
brilliant,
he got the job.
Yes, the fact that he didn't have any coaching qualifications, I suppose, like the FIFA recognised.
He said, you know, I've got...
If that's true, that's brilliant.
It is. He said, I've got...
Super.
I've got, like,
I'm going to Google that straight away.
Accrington Stanley up from whatever league. I got them into the Premier League. And they were just like, well, don't have anyone else. Amazing. But yeah, anyway, so let's move on to what we've been working on for our channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did a live stream last night, which is really good to be back live streaming. Just... real world stuff has just slowed me down recently, but I did a live stream on Twitch, not on Twitch for once.
No, you've moved across.
I've moved across to YouTube pretty much full time now. Twitch are just maniacs, if I'm honest. There's no other way of saying it. They're just off the trolley. So YouTube is just much better. That's where my content is. So it makes more sense.
Indeed, it does. Yeah. The live streams become the extension of your video on demand content.
Yeah, they do. And so I put a tweet out. That was dangerous. I put a tweet out saying, anybody, I'm going to do a live stream. If you'd like me to play your game, just link it below.
Ooh,
I was like, oh my God. And then my phone was just like, ding, ding, ding. I was like, oh Christ. Which was cool because I had loads of choices. So I just went through the Twitter feed during the live stream and I just downloaded a few games that I fancied and played them. And that was really cool. I had a couple of the developers watching and playing along and, you know, joining in, which was really nice. It's not until you start playing games, you're talking with the developer, you're giving feedback on the game, because a lot of them were like betas and demos. Mm-hmm. And it was just really nice being back doing that and not having to, like we were saying, the live streams are great because you don't have to edit yourself so much. You know, when you're doing a recorded video, you have to be so careful about your pronunciation and the timing. Yes. and all the little nuances that come with recording video that you have to be so perfect with.
Streams are surprisingly stressful.
Oh, nothing works. Suddenly.
Ever. OBS, just you. OBS can go from working for you going to get your cup of tea to sit down and then nothing seems to work. Your camera feed, gone. Your overlays, disappeared. Audio, all over the place. And it's like OBS is alive. It's like it's a sentient being trying to upset you.
Yeah.
And it does. It upsets me so much. And I go between Windows and Mac. And my Windows machine seems to be pretty solid with OBS. But on the Mac, it's all over the place. And what is going on with the camera audio delay that seems to change every single time?
Sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's terrible. I know. I don't know.
It's a gremlin in the machine.
That is the live streaming.
It's good to see you streaming again, definitely.
Yeah, so that was good fun. I was done a couple of hours there. I'm working on a new video at the minute. I think I've got 5 pixel art games on Steam. So again, pixel art. So I've got that coming up in the next sort of
next few days.
That might even be out by the time this is out. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. What about you? What's your creation tree looking like?
Creation wise at the moment, I'm looking at doing more live streams, obviously the podcast, kind of getting into the rhythm of 1 or 2 videos a week, focusing on real quality scripting, writing, and also putting a personality back into the videos where it's, so it's not a extension of a publisher's PR kit, which I think some videos can end up being. And yeah. I've really enjoyed some of the new feedback in how the channel is going and also just chatting to more and more people in the developers world. I'm live streaming on Wednesday. Well, actually, there's no point talking about this because this will stream will come out after that live stream. So maybe that can be edited out. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really enjoying live streaming and I'm adding 2 more cameras to my setup so I can have just a few different angles and few shots. So we're getting involved with that. And generally, I'm just enjoying creating again after a period in the summer where things were a little bit forced, and I think it came across in some of the videos that I was doing. Or actually, I took an entire month off. I didn't do a single video for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Which YouTube algorithm doesn't like.
No, don't do that.
Don't take more than 2 weeks off. But I wasn't feeling it, so there's no point pushing it. Although I did go back the last week or so and played an awful lot of Firewatch again. Now that game is old. But it was on my PlayStation 5 and I just played it from start to finish. And it's still, there are a few spoilers ahead, listeners. So if you want to go ahead and tail off, you've probably played the game already. But again, it's that the realization after the start that Henry's wife is going through early onset dementia and then him literally running away to the forest and his life for the next couple of months. I think it's a tale that does work on cliche on so many levels, but then you've got the audio with Sissy Jones as Delilah. Absolutely beautiful work there. And the interplay with them and the walkie-talkie. Okay, so that's clearly based on a mechanic in BioShock, but for me, one of the best games to come out in an awful long time. And it's such a shame their follow-up, Valley of Gods, I think it was, has been canned because they were bought up by Valve. That seems to have ended there. But that's it. That's really all I've been doing the last couple of weeks. Looking forward to a little bit of a ramp up again as we start to look to the new year, because obviously we are in the middle of November or early November, so it's AAA time at the moment. So I'm going to be probably going back next week and ticking off boxes for the backlog. So I think that's where I'm going to be this coming week.
Well, we've got, so I think it's a good time to sort of let everybody know what's coming up on the next episode of Access Point, because we've got a bit of a special show, a limited edition show.
It should be special based on what you're about to say.
Yeah, so we've got our first guest appearance of the podcast. And like we've always said, we do plan on bringing developers or people from the industry onto the podcast. And the first guest we've decided to bring on, we've gone for two just because we're greedy. Yeah. So next week, the next episode you're going to hear, we're going to be having Ben and Dan from, I always feel bad about always singling out Layer of the Clockwork God because they've got many cool games.
They have a massive back catalogue. Although Layer of the Clockwork God, for me, is their best thing they've done to date. Should have arguably the standout indie game. I called Hades was the better, but Hades was very much on the cusp of being indie.
Yeah.
And I'm supremely excited to be chatting with them next week.
Yeah, so they're going to come on. They're just going to join the podcast. We're going to chat to them about what they're doing, what they're working on, what they've been playing, very much in the same vein as this episode now. We're just going to have two more voices for you to listen to.
Yes, so a little bit more conversation. Going to delve into some of their creative process as well, but not in a necessarily interview-based format, just for people having a good chat about video games.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. They are two cool guys. So it's definitely going to be a longer episode next week. So bear with us.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it should be good, though. I mean, I've spoken to them before and conversations can last. It should be good fun.
Yeah, it should be. So that's going to be next week. So we're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And then we've also got some other ones lined up. So we're going to keep those secret from you.
Yeah, for now, we're just tying up a few people in the background with... We're not literally tying up people
in the
background.
No, we are. Still, I am.
Well, goodness me. We've got developers, publisher, and one person I'm really interested to speak to is actually a lawyer, a video game lawyer, specializing in IP work, which is the old how you can protect your games and what you can do, because many great games get ripped off. You'll have a look at the iOS store and Android store, and you can see many knockoff versions there. So it'd be interesting to talk to them about their opinions of the industry and what they're doing in the background to prevent this sort of shenanigans from happening.
That's very interesting. Yeah, there's lots of questions are going to flag up there. So we'll try and give you a heads up when that may or may not happen.
You never know. At least we can get some sort of schedule together to put when we've got people coming. So that's good.
So that brings us to the end of episode number 6. They are flying along now. We hope you're really enjoying them. We really appreciate the feedback that you've been sending us. We're starting to get quite a few messages in now.
And the number of downloads has far exceeded... We said this last episode, but again, we're approaching a figure that we thought we might get in the middle of next year, not after 6 or so episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you do want to leave the podcast a review, you can do so on... Probably on Apple. I think Apple is the only place you can leave reviews.
Apple's the best. I think so, yeah. Apple is where the main access point is for reviews.
Yeah.
That was subtle.
We had a review from Marspot, who is, which I've seen that name quite a few times in our feeds. And he says, quality indie game podcast. I'm a huge fan of both Indie Gaming X and Get Indie Gaming. And combining both personalities here for this podcast is just that much better. I love to listen because you can hear their passion for indie games and respect for the devs that make them. I can't wait to see where they take this podcast and what new projects I'll be exposed to. So, thank you. Thank you so much, Marspot. I really appreciate it. The reviews really help. So thank you so much for everybody who's left reviews. And we'll get through them. So
That's fabulous. Thank you very much for that. That's very kind.
If you'd like to get in contact with the show, then you can do so on our website, which is accesspoint.gg. And you can also find us on Twitter, accesspoint.gg. And you can find our personal accounts, which is for myself, it's on Twitter mainly, and YouTube, which is Indie Gamiacs. And Stuart is, of course, Get Indie Gaming. That brings us to the end. Next week, listen out for Ben and Dan, and we'll see you then.